Good morning again. So I'm going to share the word this morning. And I wanted to start the way we normally do in our church and go into small groups. But I got a question for everybody to kind of talk about. And it's kind of a different one. But what are some household non-negotiable rules in the area of behavior, talk, or attitude that you have currently, especially if you have kids in the house, or had growing up? And those are rules that just didn't go, things just didn't go over good if those happened in your house. And I know every household has them. So could everybody please get into groups of 6 to 8 and discuss that for the next few minutes, and then we'll get going after that. All right. I can remember one non-negotiable in my household, and my parents are actually here today, so they can attest to this. Actually, this was more between my mother and myself. So when I was in high school, I played a lot of music with my friends, and we played a lot of, like, I played drums usually, and I played with my friends, and my friends, like, looked like they were like the cover band of Guns N' Roses and Metallica, and I knew my parents were scared, and I was the drummer, and every time I went on a school, like, band trip or any kind of trip at all with any of those guys, my mom would come to me before I left and say, "Okay, Wayne, if you come back with a ponytail or if you come back with a piercing of any kind on your face, it's going to be cut off or it's going to be ripped out, and you're going to have to heal." And so anybody can relate to that? And I remember being on one trip, and my friends are getting, like, the piercings and stuff, and I'm like, "No way, man, I'm going over to McDonald's and I'll just, like, buy Coke or something. I'm not going anywhere near that stuff." So yeah, it was funny. So I never did, and I never had to test her, but I believed her. So that's good. So this morning, I wanted to share some things that have been on my heart, and I had a couple messages that I thought about sharing, but this one kind of stood out, and it's a story. It's an Old Testament story, ancient story, of the Tower of Babel. And I wanted to share it. I wanted to discuss it. I wanted to bring out some truths in it, especially about the nature of man and the nature of God. And this story really shows us who man really is and who God really is. And it's a different kind of story because it doesn't really have like a character like a Gideon or a Jesus or a Paul the Apostle. It's really a story of mankind and how they react and how they listen to God. And so I wanted to share that. But before I read the text that I'm reading from this morning, I wanted to go back a couple chapters. So I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 11. But in Genesis chapter 9, I just wanted to give a background of what was happening. So I want you to imagine everybody in the ark, and the rain stopped, and the birds have come and kind of confirmed that there's actually dry land. And Noah is about to open the door of the ark, and no one knows exactly what it's going to look like when the door opens. and it's just Noah and his family. And the door opens, and out walks the family. And it was there that God made a covenant, a promise. A covenant is stronger than a promise. It's something that's deep. It's something that's very sacred to God. And this covenant was God told Noah and his family to be fruitful and multiply and go out into the earth and to inhabit the earth and go out into the earth. Then God gave a rainbow, and a rainbow came, and the rainbow was a symbol of God's promise never to destroy the earth ever again, no matter how bad it got on earth. God was never going to destroy the earth again. And so that was his covenant. And the covenant also involved all the animals that were going to inhabit the earth. The earth was just trees and plants. There was no animals. And the animals came out of the ark and ran away. And you could just imagine that picture of God's covenant. And God said, I'll give you the birds, I'll give you the plants, and I want you to use them for food, and I want you to take care of them, and I want you to take care of the earth. And that was the covenant that God made that day. But the major part of that covenant was be fruitful, go out into the world and inhabit the earth, because God just didn't make one part of the earth inhabitable. He made the whole earth. And he created the earth so people could enjoy it. And so that is the background of where the story goes today. And I'm going to start reading in Genesis chapter 11, starting at verse 1. And if you have your Bibles, you can go to that. I don't have it on the screen. So if you don't have your Bibles, just listen. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 9. At one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. Verse 3. They began saying to each other, "Let's make bricks and harden them with fire." In this region, bricks were used instead of stone, and tar used for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world." But verse 5, but the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. "Look," he said, "the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other." Verse 8, in that way the Lord scattered them all over the world, and they stopped building the city. That is why the city was called Babel, because that is where the Lord confused the people with different languages. In this way, he scattered them all over the world. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 9, and what did God give Noah's family as a covenant to do, a command to do? He said, be fruitful and multiply and go into all the earth. So right away we see about 100 years later, this is about 100 years later after Noah left the ark and began life post-flood. We see the people, the descendants of Noah, we see them obeying the first part of that, the easy part, okay? be fruitful and multiply. They did a good job doing that. 100 years, and they had enough people to fill it, to build a city. And I want you to think about this for a second, because the city, like, they had the whole earth to move into. They had, like, ultimate space, acreages, like, galore, like infinite. And yet they wanted all to congregate into this one city, and it totally went against what God had asked them to do. It actually flew in the face of what God intended. They did the first part of the covenant, but they didn't do the last part. And they came together, and they saw that the earth was different there, and that they could make bricks and building materials out of the dirt. And they started to build and build and build, and they got really good at it. They got so good at it that they were making these magnificent structures and building houses for lots and lots of people, while God was saying, I want you to go out into all the earth. And they didn't do it. They wanted to stay where everything was familiar. They wanted to stay where everything was safe. Yet, they didn't have anything to worry about, because all the people that were on the face of the earth were probably right in that city. And they were all in rebellion. They were all in rebellion. All they had to do was to obey God and go out, have a little courage, have a little adventure. We see through history when we have explorers that went out into the world to find new lands. It was usually out of necessity. Food was scarce, so they needed to find new food sources, so explorers went out. And yet, these people had everything. The descendants of Noah had everything they wanted. They had everything they wanted under the face of the earth, yet they were still in rebellion. And the rebellion got so bad and they got so miserable that they said, we are going to build a miraculous tower. And this tower is going to be so tall that it's going to be all the way up to heaven. And that flew right in the face of God. They wanted to be like God. They believed that they knew better than God. I don't know why, but sometimes when we are out of God's plan and we're not living the way we should, stuff like that starts happening, where we start to think our plans are better than God's. And it starts small. It starts small, and they start building this tower. And the nature of man is to have reliance on himself instead of God. And that even happens today. That happens to me all the time. I think, oh, I can get away with that because I'm talented in that area and I can do that. I don't need reliance on God. God can do that in me. And yet God's saying, I want you to be totally reliant on me. So this brings us to the next thing we're talking about this morning, and that's the nature of God. That's the nature of God. And I want to share something with you, because when we're talking about non-negotiables, this is a non-negotiable for God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 says, and this is Moses talking to to the people. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind, or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I'm going to say that again. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commandments. So we see there's an attribute of God that we don't talk about today too much, and that's the jealousy of God. Did you know that God is jealous for you? God is jealous for you. And when we think of the word jealous, we think in human terms. Okay? So I want to just talk briefly about the human term jealousy, because it's a sin. Human jealousy is manipulation. We see this in relationships. And if you're in a relationship that's full of jealousy and manipulation, get out. It's harmful, it's awful, and it's very prevalent today. We see this in friendships. You know, one person's more pretty than the other person. Yet, so there's jealousy there, and there's anger. Or one person gets a promotion and one person doesn't, and friendships stop. Or one person has everything going good in their life, and your life's going like to the complete garbage, and there's jealousy there, and there's a rift there, and you get in there, and it causes friction, it causes division. In the church, it's that person's more talented, okay? That person's a better musician than me, or that person is a better singer than me, or that person is more spiritual than me, can pray better, looks better, can dress better. It goes on and on and on. But nod at me right now if you know that really goes on. It goes on because it is a nature of man that is so destructive and manipulative. Yet God says, I am a jealous God, and I am jealous for you. A couple years ago, actually about 10 years ago, a song came out. And it was kind of a controversial song because it was a worship song, and everybody wanted to change the words of it. And because it was just so raw. And the song starts out by saying, I'm jealous for you. The Lord is jealous for me. And he has love that's abounding and love that's captivating. And that song, when I first heard it, was just like, it floored me because I never heard something like that before. Because I was thinking human jealousy, but God is saying, I'm jealous, God. We see the prophet Hosea. This, I had to do a book report or a project, a 25-page paper on this, on 25 pages in college so that I could graduate. And I had to do it on the book of Hosea. And I was so, Hosea is just an incredible figure of, like, what did he do? So God came to Hosea and he said, I want you to marry a prostitute. I want you to go and I want you to marry this person. And you're going to fall in love with her. And she's going to treat you like garbage every night. She's going to leave you alone. She's going to have you take care of the kids, and she's going to be out carousing and doing what prostitutes do. And I remember the first time I read that, I'm like, why would God do that to anybody? That is like so awful. Like, who would, like, no one in the right world would want that kind of pain. And yet, Hosea obeyed and did that. And he married Gomer. And Gomer was, he loved Gomer. But Gomer treated him like absolute garbage over and over and over and over again. And Hosea knew that there was a reason that he had to marry her. And the reason was because God wanted to show the nation of Israel how he felt every time Israel turned their back on God. Because God wanted their full adoration. God wanted their full love. God wanted their full attention. Yet Israel was turning their back and worshiping idols. And Hosea even had to buy her back from somebody, pay her debts. That's how much he loved her. And it's just a symbol of what God thinks about us. We are his beloved people. We are his beloved. He loves us. He loves us so much that he has jealousy for us. And when we're not putting him first in everything we do, not just our affections, not just in our relationships, in our finances, in our health, in anything, God needs to be and deserves to be that place where he's number one, and he's the only one. And he doesn't share that space for anybody. He doesn't share that space for anybody. He doesn't share that space for a girlfriend. He doesn't share that space for a boyfriend. He doesn't share that space even for anything in the world that turns your eyes off of Jesus. And if you're here today and you're like wondering why you're feeling like you're far from God, and you're like, you're trying to build these fortresses just like the people of Babel did. And if you feel that today, that you're feeling like that, and you just need to protect yourself somehow and build these fortresses, and because it's the only way that you can feel like you're doing anything, God's saying, you are my beloved, come unto me, and I will show you something better. I will show you something better. And if you're here today and you're far from God, it's time to come home. It's time to come home. I can sing that song, the Lord is jealous for me. I can sing that song with knowing how much he loves me and knows that my life is in his hands. And I don't have to worry anymore. And all that stuff that happened years back, it doesn't matter because God is jealous for me. We need to put him first today. The cool thing is the story goes that God said to the Holy Spirit and Jesus who is with them, because Moses used the same language he used in Genesis at the creation of the world when he said, let us make man in our image. He was talking about the Holy Spirit and Jesus. So when God actually came down to Babel, wouldn't that be a sight? All these people thinking that God was just a joke. all of a sudden God shows up and he starts walking around with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And they're looking at what's happening. And God says, this is going to stop right now. And he looks and he says, I'm going to say the word. And these people are going to start speaking in different languages at each other. And everybody's going to get confused. It was brilliant. God didn't have to go in and go in and kill everybody because he's angry. Because he had already made a covenant that he wasn't going to destroy the earth. But God, all he had to do was change the language of everybody. And everybody was confused. And all of a sudden, nobody was thinking about how good they are and how awesome they were. Because they were trying to talk to their wife, okay? And they were both talking at each other like totally different languages. You know, it seems like that already sometimes for some of you. Couples, like, what language are you talking to me about? They were actually talking to each other in different languages, and everybody was like freaked out, didn't know what to do. They could not understand why God would be so mean, why God would, you know, why would you do this? And the Bible says everything stopped. The work stopped, everything stopped. And people didn't want to stay in the city anymore. Guess what they did? They did what they were supposed to do in the first place. They dispersed and went out into the world. They went out into the world like they were supposed to do in the first place. But God had to make that happen. And it came at a big, 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 big price. It came at a huge price. When we listen to God in the first place, we don't get into trouble like that. And they found that out. They found that out. And they went out into all the world. And they tried to pick up the pieces. And once again, they started to do what they did best. And they were fruitful and they multiplied. And they kept going throughout the earth. And then 2,000 years later, this is kind of cool. 2,000 years later, all of these nations that were dispersed 2,000 years earlier converged on a city called Jerusalem. They converged because there was a celebration going on. And 50 days earlier, Jesus had just... The Messiah had just died on the cross. And before Jesus died, he said, he gave a command, just like God did back in Genesis. Jesus gave a command to go to Jerusalem and wait in the upper room and wait for me to clothe you with power from on high. And there is these Christians, or they weren't Christians yet. They were just people that followed Jesus and believed his words. And they were in the upper room, and a violent earthquake hit, and coals of fire came and rested on each and every one of them. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And all these people from all these nations that converged on Jerusalem that day heard. They heard people praising God in their own language. There was no confusion. It was just astonishment. And people worshiped God because of that. And they were amazed. And they thought these people were drunk. But because they were like so full of the Holy Spirit, but it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And they came out and people were like, what is going on here? And Peter stood up that day. Peter stood up the day and preached a sermon, which 50 days earlier he had denounced that he knew Jesus three times. And he preached a sermon, and thousands of people came to Christ that day. And that day, a structure was built, a structure that no one can ever tear down. That was the beginning of the church. Babel came out of rebellion. Babel came out of people not wanting to listen to God and what he had to say, not trusting him, not doing that stuff. The day of Pentecost happened and the church was built because of the exact opposite. Jesus said, be unified, be together, do what I say, wait for me, because the Holy Spirit will be coming and he will clothe you with power from on high. And that's exactly what happened. And the Holy Spirit hit. And Christianity that day, the church spread like wildfire throughout the land. And we are here today because of that. And we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit guides us. I believe that the Holy Spirit will guide you in everything you do. If you are in rebellion this morning, it's time to come back. It's time to come back. If you're sitting here and you haven't grown, if you haven't grown in your faith, if you're still the same you were when you came here, how different is that than the people in Babel saying, I don't really need God because I know better. I know God wants me to do stuff. I know God wants me to grow closer to him, but I don't really want that. I want to make my own decision. And there we go. That's it. Case closed. That's the nature of man having a hold of your life. And God's saying, I want something better for you this morning. I want something better for you, and I want you to live. I want you to live, not a life. I can't promise you safety. I can't promise you that everything's going to be hunky-dory and just incredibly awesome, because we go through seasons in our lives where everything's good and then everything comes crashing down. But God is the one who is our constant that gets us through those things. And if you're here and you're mad with God and you're angry with God, God's saying, I'm jealous for you. I want you to see, the church was formed that day, but the church, all the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the apple of God's eye. Christ adores the church. Christ adores this church today. But the church isn't a building. It's the people. It's the people. And when we come together as family and we pray for people and we believe that God can do wonderful things, we believe it because of his promises, and that in his word he shows us over and over and over and over and over and over and over again that he is the one that sits at the top of our food chain, that he is the one that sits in the rightful place of Lord of our lives. And he needs to be Lord of your life this morning. Does that resonate with people this morning? Let's just stand really quick. And I want to pray over you, and then we're gonna have another discussion question. But I want to pray over everybody here, because I believe that repentance is important. And we need to go into a time of repentance where you fall at the feet of Christ and let him do. Let him just like reset your life. So God, I pray for people here. I pray for whoever needs to hear this message today, that God, you are going to do a mighty, awesome, powerful work in their life. God, that when they come to you and they fall on their knees and say, I am sorry for being self-reliant. I am sorry for not believing you. When you say that you are jealous for me, that all your love and all your affection needs to be on me. And you need to trust me because I am to be trusted. God, I pray for those people. I pray for those calling out. I pray for the Christian that has had nothing but garbage heaped on their plate for years. And you're just asking for a time out. You're just asking for a reprieve. You're just asking for something good to happen. God, I pray for the faith. I pray for the faith of Abraham. I pray for the faith of Noah. I pray for the faith of Ruth. I pray for the faith of Esther. I pray for the faith of these Bible characters that gave everything so that you could be lifted high. And we do that this morning in Jesus' name. We lift your name high in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please go back to your seats, your groups. And I want you to start. Okay, this is going to be really hard for some people, but I want you to start confessing things that God is jealous over you for. It's a weird question, but we have to ask it this morning. In your group, discuss areas of your life that the Holy Spirit is pointing out as areas that God is jealous over. Go for it.